Well, then let's get this part out of the way.
Yeah.
Party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, girl! Out here, just a little bit sweet, brother. Trip with the house. Get
off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang with your friends.
Got
a hand,
got a shoulder.
Game over,
man. Oh, yeah!
Here's this. I construct ground for you.
Val Edmondson.
I don't understand. It's just tough.
In defense of Coldplay.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Hey, everybody. That was the opening of the Cody Velotto episode because I didn't have the theme song cut out. So there's a little extra on there. If you go back a couple, you'll find that opening. So it's a little what I call
Easter
sampling.
Egg. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's Paul McCartney, Afrika Bambaataa, then it goes me as far as sampling goes. Guys, we're here with another episode of Jonahless Radio. Don't fear. We're texting with him, trying to get him on the phone. That might go poorly because you've never seen something as jerry-rigged as our phone ring. But I am here with Neil Mahoney. Say hi, Neil.
Hi. It's
and one of the comments that we get the most about this podcast is the amazing art that comes up. When you go to the Maximum Fun page, every week there is a new illustration going back years and years and years. How long has it been? 6 years? Have we been doing it for six years? That because you came on pretty early on, Dana.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dana Lechtenberg is here. He's the artist that does that. He's a fantastic artist. You've heard us talk about him stuff. You've heard him on the podcast before, I believe, in Chicago. You were there. Did you make it up on stage?
I think one of my kids made it up before I did. I just brought some shots up.
He is also the father of two of our youngest fans. So give it up for Dana Lechtenberg.
Thank you.
Another clap. It's a little lower this time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me yet again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a regular thing. You get to come out to Los Angeles. What, like once a year?
I try to come out once a year. Didn't make it out last year, but it's been a great time so far.
That's good. What have you been doing so far? What have you been doing in town?
I've been hanging out with Neil.
Nice.
I've been having some power meetings. I just got done meeting with Dana Gould on something.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Neil and I got to go see the very cool live reading of Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That's very neat.
Yeah.
Jonah has done that in the past, but he is obviously out of town this
time. And I asked Dana this morning, the part that Jonah usually plays was done by Bronger.
Oh, Matt Bronger.
Yep. So that was two tall fellas doing the same role. So
that's nice.
Yeah, neat.
All right, Jonah's ready.
Jonah's ready.
Good. Take the mic.
Is he
away
calling?
From me.
Is he calling in? Calling me, or should I call him?
Go ahead and call him.
I'm going to. I go back to. I go down to contacts on my phone, and I go to J. Oh, it went to L by mistake, guys. Sorry.
This is all quality stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When Cash tries to make a phone call, what does it sound like?
Nope. I got two Jonah Rays in here. That's one.
Hello.
Jonah, it's Cash. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, that's great. We are here with Neil Mahoney and Dana Lechtenberg.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yep.
Hi, Jonah.
They're pretty far away from the microphone, so you got to yell. Say it again, Dana.
Hi, Jonah.
Did you hear him there?
Yeah, this is good podcasting, guys.
This is great podcasting. I may be the only one that can hear you because I have headphones in. What's it like that out there on the road, Jonah?
Currently I'm in New Haven, Connecticut. Never
That's
been.
Right.
Deanna and I were walking around, and we're like, wow, this is some kind of crazy college. It's like that thing looks like a castle.
Really?
It's like Yale or something. And then it turns out, yes, this is where Yale is.
So you met the future Supreme Court justices? They all came out to your show?
No, I mean, the show tonight. So, I mean, hopefully I won't see some empty seats in the house.
Yeah.
We did DC last night, and yes, I did put Ian MacKaye on the list, and no, he did not show up.
Ooh. Well, he's.
I did sing in a pig mask. I sang the opening lines to "Waiting Room" by Fugazi.
Very cool.
That's what you do when you go to DC. You embrace the local culture, and that, I feel like you honored that when you did that.
Made a reference to Ben's chili bowl. People who ate it up.
There you go.
it's really cold, and it's last night.
I'm gonna go home and listen to Repeater.
Last night was our second night on the bus, and it's going okay. The shows have been a lot of fun. They're really hectic. We're changing stuff nonstop.
Yeah.
So it's been real. A lot of rewriting and reconfiguring of stuff.
Well, that's good. Well, it's nice that you're discovering it. You're getting it on its feet. That's why you take a show out of town, Jonah. Not to get too Broadway on you.
That's true. That's very true. I don't know. It's been fun so far. Haven't gotten too sick yet.
Good. You did. You done any record shopping? Got any local record stores you want to shout out?
When I was in Portland, Maine, which is a cool town, I went to this awesome place called Coast City Comics.
Nice.
And it's this punk rock guy, Tristan, that runs it, and it's just like a comic book shop, but it's also got a ton of records and tapes and CDs, and it's also got tons of toys, and it has like some great pinball machines. They have like Tales from the Crypt, Freddy, Adam's Family, and so that place was awesome, and like, you know, VHS movies and all kinds of stuff like that. That place was great. I got some stuff from there, and then trying to think of where else I've been. I don't remember. Everything's turning into a blur. But that's probably like the coolest shop I've been to yet.
Cool.
Jonah, I saw a picture of that Freddy pinball machine that you posted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen that one before, but it looked really neat.
Yeah, I remember the Freddy, the Nightmare on Elm Street pinball machine was at this burger place next to a movie theater where I grew up in Kailua, in a neighborhood called Enchanted Lakes. And like it's like me and my dad, when we go see movies, we'd go to this burger place beforehand to get dinner, and I'd always play it, and it always would play that, like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, sweet.
And it would scare me every time, and then I'd lose a ball.
That Addams Family machine, that was a big one for me growing up.
Which one?
The Addams Family.
Yeah, that was and that's kind of like a well-known good pinball game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I find interesting about the pinball thing is the intersection of like high quality licenses and the actual pinball games don't always match up. Like sometimes it's like they're crappy licenses, but they're great games and vice versa.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game Revolution X?
Was it the shooting game with Aerosmith?
Yes, and you shot CDs.
Yes, I totally remember that game.
It was almost exactly like the Terminator 2 game, if I remember.
Yes, I think it was the same company, and like I'm sure like it was backstage when Aerosmith was touring with Get a Grip, and they're like, we love this, and they're like, we can get in business with you guys. It's such a crass, weird commercialism, like, and any later in history, and Aerosmith would have gone like, hey, maybe not the mass shooting game. Maybe that's not the thing we want to get involved in. But like,
Very true, yeah. Yeah,
the 90s were a crazy time.
I remember when I was last year at Beyond Fest, Paul Bonanno and I went to go watch Predator. You know, they were showing it in 35 millimeter, and it was like, you know, you're watching it, it's fun, and it's all, you know, all the, you know, get to the chopper, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like a 2-minute scene where they're just like shooting crazy ass huge machine guns, like kind of towards camera because they're shooting into the, you know, the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, they were yelling and shooting, and it was the day after Las Vegas. And everyone in the crowd who was having fun and hooping and hollering, like got real quiet during that
place. Oh, that's rough. That, I mean, it's not rough. Yeah, it's rough, but that's...
It was worse for us, Cash. It was worse. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
get off the cross, dude.
I miss you guys.
We miss you too, Jonah.
Is the listenership up?
Who would dare look?
I spent some time. When you get back, or maybe to kill time before you get back, we got to play another round of golf. The listener golf. Who can get the lowest score out of countries? That was a fun game.
Hey, Linda, how's your trip going?
Yeah,
It's been going really great. I didn't have a lot of prep for this trip, so I'm kind of doing a lot of stuff on the fly. But it's been going great. Oh, yeah.
You feel stressed trying to squeeze a bunch of stuff in, you're just kind of going with the flow?
Yeah. I'm trying to plan something out with Christina and Dan, maybe one of the, like, Halloween-type events here.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. That's what I'm bummed about missing most.
Yeah.
Right now. It's like my favorite season in L.A. is Halloween season.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we got rain today, Jonah. It feels fall-y. It's great. We had, like, crazy lightning storm last night. You were on Instagram, you know.
at our show in Boston, and yes, I did mention the Mighty Mighty Boston's to Boston. But I forgot to say, love that dirty water. That's my favorite thing to say when I come out to a crowd at a Boston show. Hey, Boston, love that dirty water. Turns out the band, Joyce Manor, who just released a new album, which is really great, they were playing like literally like 400 feet away from where our venue was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you should play another song off that new album. It's a really good album.
All right. Well, we'd have to have Wi-Fi to really change the playlist at this point. But I did download some songs before I came over, and one of them I thought you would appreciate. Let me pull up this email. This is a woman from a woman named Allison Morales. She loves the show, listening for a few years. She really loved the Dead and Company episode. I would never go to that concert, but I'm always curious to hear what other people have to say. Her band is heading to Fest this year, which I don't know Fest, but
Fest is like a legendary, awesome punk rock festival in Gainesville, Florida.
Well, she knows about Snake Plissken, and I thought you were dead. And she said, I thought you'd appreciate the name of our band, Hans Gruber and the Diehards.
That's great.
Fans once said to us, we are like Choking Victim, but fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
Choking Victim is a band that I've seen their records and shirts more than I've ever heard the actual band.
I'm the same way with Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, and Alex on Fire.
Yeah. Very popular shirts. Good shirts.
Great shirts.
I'm going to throw to this song real quick, and we'll come back, and we'll talk for a sec.
You're going to make him stay on the phone through a song?
No, I was going to cut it in.
Oh, okay.
So here's Hans Gruber and the Diehards with It Just Doesn't Matter. We'll be right back.
It just doesn't matter!
And we're back. That was Hans Gruber and the Diehards with It Just Doesn't Matter. They're going to Fest, so go see them if you're going to Fest. They will enjoy that.
I think Kyle Kinane's going to be back at Fest this year, too.
Go see Kyle Kinane and them at Fest, then. Sounds like we should put together like a lineup.
Yeah, we should do Fest next year.
Okay. He said from the back of his tour bus.
I'm in the bathroom because it's quiet.
So I think the biggest question that all the fans are wondering is, are you and Dee sharing the same bunk on the bus?
No, we actually, because Dee's here, I kind of laid claim to the back room.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Kevin Smith style, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I feel a bit guilty about it because there is another couple on the tour, which is Tim Ryder and Rebecca Hansen, and yeah, they have a lot of stuff to do in the show too. But you know, they didn't once offer it to me last tour, so they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing when you're going to be in a tight situation to hold grudges. So this is going to go great.
Yeah, no, but it's been nice. I mean, we've only done like 2 nights, and it's, I mean, it's not great sleep. Like, I don't really end up falling asleep too much until we roll, like, we stop in the town, and so then I end up, like, sleeping in late and kind of trying to figure out the rest of the day.
Yeah. Touring needs to get you another 4 hours in the day, and then I think everything would be all right, but the travel mixed in with the performing is the worst. Neil, you toured Australia extensively in the 80s. What was that like?
No, I didn't.
All right.
Well, this is fun, guys. I gotta go soundcheck.
All right, have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Eat healthy.
I got vegan Caribbean food today. It was delightful.
Wow. There's vegan Caribbean food in New Haven, Connecticut.
I am still gaining a lot of weight. I don't know how it's happening. It must be all the beers.
All right. All right, drink water.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Take showers.
And you have it. Yay. Turn off that microphone. Guys, that went surprisingly well for...
Yeah, not so bad.
How jerry-rigged that was. If you're...
I don't know if that's cool to say.
Jerry-rigged?
Yeah, that might be an offensive origin etymology.
You think so? It does sound like one of those that's sort of out there, and then you find out it's like, oh yeah, that's
based on hatred of the Chinese.
Yeah. the guy's known for their juries?
I don't know.
This
I've also heard it pronounced jerry-rigged a lot, which might have been like a
German thing. All right.
But isn't it actually kind of a compliment because you're making something out of nothing?
Is that what it is? Is like when you jury rig something, you're like cheating justice? Is that? I mean, I could see how that would be a bad thing.
I don't
thing.
Think it's jury.
Like you, like the 12 members of the. I thought it was the same thing. Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is. It, well,
etymology
I'll it was
with the boys.
The
etymology.
Phone was kind of stuck in the couch with the microphone on top of it. That's it was that way rigged. Okay. If we're trying to avoid controversy.
You can say Dana rigged if you want, but
no.
It was cash rigged. So
if it's cash rigged, it's gonna fall apart right in the middle of using
lots
it.
Lots of duct tape.
Yep. Last week I cash rigged a wrench that wasn't long enough by attaching another wrench to it, and it it looked incredibly stupid, and it worked really good.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's important to celebrate the little victories of like making something work that's not supposed to work. Or kicking in a door when
yeah,
you lose the
Yeah, I think you're off the hook here.
Yeah, jury rigged?
I think I was wrong. I think it's fine.
All right.
At least well. The first... Wait, oh, here we go.
Old oh.
All right. Based on a... It's based in French.
Oh. Jury rigged. Oh.
How we doing?
We are doing good. So we heard Hans Gruber and the Diehards were 20 minutes in. Unless we cut this up, check your time code. Check your own time code. It's the new mystery I'm hiding in every podcast.
We may have some extra bonus footage to or audio to put into this episode with the new and probably only once Man on the Street segment.
Yeah. So. Well, no, let's put that in the next one.
Oh, okay.
Dana is going out into the street representing Jonah Radio. We got him a mic flag. That's just a picture of Jonah's face. And he's going to go stick that in the faces of some people for a little thing we will eventually call Dana's trip to L.A. But in the meantime, this is Beretta Blues, From Nothing Good by Bremer and the No Goods.
It's a scary time out here for intersexual minorities.
Don't worry, I know a place where we can learn, laugh, and play.
Where?
Minority Corner with the Wonder Twins of Podcasting, Aneke and James.
Wow, they sound fabulous, smart, and incredibly attractive.
At Minority Corner, you'll get everything from the history you were never taught.
Like the history of Chinese immigration, or who was James Baldwin, or African queens of old, like Queen Candace.
Plus, awesome book recommendations outside of the usual white male cisgender canon. Interviews from comedians, artists, writers, writers, and activists.
Well, that sounds like a party. But hold up. What about movie and TV reviews starring folks whose melanin is popping?
Well, you know Minority Corner loves their deep dive into pop culture, all from a perspective that's black, queer, and ladylike.
Ooh, yes. And with the election just around the corner, sounds like Aneka and James are going to get us information.
Not to mention self-care tips, how to be an ally, and how you can get involved in your community so you can help fix this mess.
You know what? James and Aneka kind of sound like us.
That's because...
They are us.
Whoa.
Minority Corner.
I listen to Reading Glasses because Bria and Mallory have great tips.
My suggestion for book festivals is just go for one day.
I listen for the author interviews.
I was a huge Goosebumps fan.
Oh, yes.
R.L. Stine was totally my jam.
I don't even read. I just like their chemistry together.
Literally, if on the back it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Jonah always gives me, like, a countdown, so I know when to hit the applause, but I just fucking nailed it.
Yeah, you really did. Just, you went in blind.
Nailed it!
Oh, you nailed it. We can turn this back up. Give me another nailed it.
Nailed it!
You guys hear that good?
I mean, it doesn't... We can hear it fine.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Put that on a shirt.
We're back.
I like that song.
Yeah. That was The Beretta Blues by... Hidden by a Pop-Up Window. I'm sorry. That was The Beretta Blues by Bremer and the No Goods, bringing our grand total of bands played with and the up to two for this episode.
Awesome.
So if you had the over, you're going to be in the money. I'm thinking about getting into gambling, guys. What do you think?
Great idea.
Mm-hmm. Been going through some financials. I'm doing all right now, by which I mean I'm paid my rent. So, gambling.
Do you have a particular game in mind?
Nope. I'm
cards.
Maybe
Casino Morongo.
Casino Morongo. I've driven by the Casino Morongo many times. I've never been in. Neil, you've been there, right?
I've been there.
Yeah. You ever been to Casino Morongo? You know what we're talking about?
I absolutely do not.
You will be a listener stand-in as we explain what Casino Morongo is, because it's probably not that different than any Indian casino that you've ever seen in your life, right?
That we have in Iowa.
Yeah. It takes from the Vegas idea, because it's got like a three-story... I don't know what to call it. Like, it's not a billboard exactly. It's more like the upper three stories have like an LCD screen on them.
Oh, wow. Wall.
Yeah. And it's the only thing that tall within 20 miles. So it's one of those things at night when you drive by it, it just kind of hangs out for like 40 minutes.
There's Casino Morongo if you're headed east. And then like about 5 miles, there's like a real broken dick fucking casino. It's like... We were here first, man.
Yeah. I've only been in Vegas. I went into a locals casino in North Vegas because I was there with my dad and there's...
Wait, what's a locals casino?
Like, a locals casino is like they get rid of all of the like the strip shit where it's like overwhelming or like...
I see what you mean.
Like if you happen to be a blackjack dealer and you want to play blackjack, you go there because you're like... Oh. I know the... I don't know if it's better odds, but it's less bullshit. It's just like, we'll just bring you the free drink. You don't have to wait for like an hour for the waitress to come back. It's kind of inspiring because it's the same thing as Vegas, but it's just, there's no bullshit. There's just like, yeah, we're kind of here to take your money. But we're not going to like lie to you about it. We're just gonna kind of be straightforward. Indian casinos also have that a little bit too, because they're not in the middle of Vegas or a strip or something like that where it's all casinos where it's just one.
Yeah, Morongo's pretty Vegasy.
It is
like it's still like, oh, this is the only place in the world you can still smoke indoors.
Yeah,
and like
it's 2 minutes from the outlet malls.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
And then, like, yeah. And there's just, like, a lot of, like, oh, you are a complete degenerate gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on people's faces as they were, like, walking out, it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's...
I don't know if Hollywood Park still exists as a... It does it? Yeah. I was... at odds in my 20s and had gas in my car. And I was like, I've never been here. It's like midnight, 1 a.m. or something like that. And I'm just kind of cruising around.
Sounds like you were looking for a sex worker.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I did not find one that night. I will say that because I went in and they had a huge poker room, and all poker rooms to me are just like, I don't understand what's going on the table. Like, I need the shit on the side of the screen to actually understand poker. So that didn't make sense. And then I went over to like blackjack, cause that was the only game I had played. I had just gambled for the first time in Vegas. And so I came back and I was like, I guess you can do this here. And then I went over to blackjack, and in the state of California, or the way that they do this, you have to offer players the chance to be the house. Like,
oh, weird.
You have to offer them the chance to like be the dealer, where they cover everybody's bets at the table. And so it goes around. You don't have to take it if you don't want to, but if you do take it, you have the ability to like win six or seven hands at once.
Oh, wow.
It's very strange, and I think it's called No Bust 2021 or something like that. Some bastardization of the game, but people play it. But then I saw this guy who had won like four or five hands, and he's like, I'm going to do it this time. And then even the dealer was kind of like, you could tell it was sort of like, Larry, are you sure? Like, you hear a lot, and this like never works out for him. He's like, I want to do it. And he had a big stack of chips. I don't know how much they were worth, but he ended up passing everything out, but like two of them to cover all the bets. Mm-hmm. And then he busted.
Oh,
and he lost all of them. And it was, and I saw it was, it's like one of those things where I got a whole moral lesson in like 15 minutes, where it's just like, oh, don't ever do that. Like, I can see the despair on your face. I'm never going to put myself in that position. So it was good. It did help, and I don't really gamble now.
I quit gambling 15 minutes after I started. I went in to, the first time I went to Las Vegas, I walked in and I was like, roulette, 50-50 odds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I play is roulette.
Put down $20, lost it. Put down another $20, lost it. I was like, fuck, because I was down $40, and that was a lot of money to me and to a lot of people. And I was like, that's kind of all I budgeted for gambling here. And then I said, fuck. And then what's a guy that runs a roulette table?
Croupier.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, well, that guy was not happy with me for cussing at his table. So I was asked to leave.
Wow.
And then I was like, there's another casino I could go to. And I took out like 20 more dollars because there was a $10 ATM fee, and I was like,
wow,
this is not thinking like, oh, if I take out $40, I'm saving 75%.
Yeah.
But like, I just was amazed by how.
Were you in a casino in a strip club? I've never seen.
We were staying at like a Motel 6 or something.
Uh-huh.
That also had slot machines everywhere.
Yeah.
And that constant noise is so maddening to me. But like, and then we walked over to like a name brand casino. I forget which one. And then, yeah.
I'm always curious about those slots that are in like the airports and the hotels and things like
yeah.
The ones that you just completely pass. Like they're just there to be ignored, except for probably two, three people a day?
Yeah. Is anybody really winning on those? And if so, what are they getting out of it?
Well, that's where they put the loose slots, because it's right up where everyone walks in.
Oh.
And then, yeah. I that was in the movie Casino with Robert De Niro. Mm.
That's right. Joe Pesci, too.
Yeah. And he's yelling at Joe Bob Briggs because the guys were scamming his
slot. Right. I forgot that was Joe Bob Briggs.
Rigging his slot machine.
He played a great idiot in that.
Yeah. Another time, many years later, I was working in Las Vegas on a New Year's Eve special, and the only place that didn't have like the sound on the slot machines on,
mm-hmm.
where I could eat breakfast, because this was like old,
yeah.
strip, whatever, like Fremont Street experience.
Yeah, where they got that domed over thing.
Yeah, it's a domed over LED screen, mm-hmm. where they do like jets passing over and shit, more things to traumatize everyone that's there. But there was like some the The casino we were staying in was called like O'Malley's or something. It was like very just lazily Irish themed.
I think I've walked by that one, yeah.
And then so there was like a bar restaurant, and I sat at the bar, and in the bar.
Oh yeah, the video poker machines. There's
video poker, yeah. So you order your breakfast, and you're just staring at the screen. And I was like, all right, fuck
it's it. Taunting you.
Yeah.
So I put a couple dollars in, and I won like, I think $100.
Wow.
Hey.
And then the bartender was like, hey, big winner. And then he like slid me like, here's your comped breakfast.
Oh.
For
winning?
Because I won, I got a free breakfast. And I was like, that seems like it's manipulation.
Yeah.
So I stood up, paid $20 for my breakfast and left. Like, I don't want this thing in my hand anymore.
Well.
Yeah. Las Vegas.
Nice. Yeah, that's
I looked at it and I was like, do I have Viva Las Vegas on here? No.
I know it's not Vegas, but it makes me think of it. You hear that they're rebooting Fantasy Island?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess...
Are they getting Dinklage?
I don't know. The only one they've announced is... Michael Pena is going to play
Mr. Rourke.
Mr. Rourke.
Interesting.
I don't know much about that show other than that.
Mr. Rourke was old. It was, he's got a great name. What's that actor's
Ricardo.
Name? Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, man. He's got the theater over on Vine.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the Ricardo Montalban Theater. I've never seen anything there. I feel like I should have.
I did see something there. It was like... Oh, it was like that.
I feel like they do upfronts there, maybe, or stuff like that.
Well, they Nick Kroll and John Mulaney did their show there.
Oh, wow!
And then Scott and Paul and shit.
Oh, is that like a Bang Bang thing?
Yeah, they did like the comedy Bang Bang show there.
Oh, the Christmas show or something like that. Yeah, yeah. But the Ricardo Montalban guys, if you're ever on Hollywood Boulevard, it's just a few steps off, and it's rewarding. Yeah. Yeah, there's a sushi place right by it that seems very expensive.
Local references.
But speaking
of Dinklage, though, and Fantasy Island, I have been seeing some billboards and signs for something called Dinner with Hervé.
Yeah.
Is that obviously...
That's him. That's Dinklage playing Hervé Villages.
Okay.
Yeah. And it looks interesting. And I don't know if it's a book or it's some sort of legendary... profile of him from the 70s, like a magazine profile.
Cool.
It sounds interesting. I mean, that dude was crazy. I feel like he and you are about the same knife level. Like he pulled out knives at a lot of places.
Motherfucking Google it, dog.
Oh yeah, you don't have the put your knife away drop.
No.
I will say, though, in defense of Neil's knives, he gave me one. I took it to a job I had. I used it like 17 times that day, and everybody admired it.
So you guys, this one?
Yeah, I've seen that one. Is that new?
I had it last week. I don't know if I pulled it out, though. I bought it on... Oh, no, I didn't. It came on Monday because I bought it on the plane home.
Knife shot? That's...
I hope you all were able to hear the snap of that.
I don't know if I would want to sit next to you if you were the dude that we like bought the internet on the plane to go knife shopping.
My friend Josh Slater, when I was in New York, he's like, hey, do you follow this Instagram account? I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no. It's like, oh, it's this chick I met. And she's always like she's got some line on like actual Italian stilettos. And she sells them on Instagram. And
wow.
Like, huh? And he's like, yeah, just check this out. He sent me a picture, and she had these two pearl-handled stilettos.
Wow.
He's like, these are going to go fast. And then, like, second comment, sold.
Wow.
And
Instagram, I feel like we're, if we took this a little more seriously, I feel like we just broke a story about arms smuggling.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, like, oh, because I... DM'd her and I was like, do you get how often do you get this kind of stuff? She also sells like jewelry and other kind of stuff. And she's like, oh, every once in a while one will pop up. I'm like, Where? Like, what world are you living in?
Yeah. Well, I go to the jewelry marts and they're just there.
The other weird thing is she was holding them in her hand and they're about like hand width. They're they're lady size. And she has the palms of her hands tattooed.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. That seems painful. Would that be painful?
I think unwise.
It is because it'll rub off. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of wear and tear.
What does she have on them?
I can't tell if she's holding that.
It's the silhouette of a knife.
Yeah.
hold here.
There's the prices.
I just wrote down knife talk in the book for notes.
Oh, great.
Unless you want to give it a name.
We talked about Vegas for fucking 6 months and you didn't write that down.
Right after Vegas talk is knife talk.
Shut up, dummy.
But circling back to that, why don't you play some Keno Cash?
It's bingo with cash, right?
I'm confusing. What's the dice game then?
Craps.
Oh, craps. That's
I've tried to play craps a couple of times, and mostly just from shoulders, just peeking over shoulders trying to figure it out, and I thought I had it figured out. And I took my chips and I put them down on the table. And the dealer looked at me and says, "We don't come before the come, sir." And I went like, "Okay." And I picked up my chips and walked away. And I was like, "I'm fucking done." That guy could have been polite. He could have explained what that meant. But he told me, "We don't come on the come." And everybody looked at me like an idiot. So I'm done with that fucking game.
That's a lot of come.
Yep. "We don't come on the come, sir."
I used to remember what that is. Like, come and pass.
Mm-hmm. You're betting on sevens, if sevens come up or elevens come up, or the number comes up before you roll a seven.
You have to roll first, and then people bet whether you're going to get a seven or 11 before you hit that number again.
Gotcha.
In the dealer's defense, though, you were holding your chips in one hand and your dick in the other, so.
Come on, it comes.
Nailed it!
Keno is like the shit you can play in bars, where it's like just like.
It's like a state lotto kind of game.
Oh, okay.
With every 10 minutes, there's a lottery card, and then the balls, like, jump on it.
Oh, wow.
They don't have that in Ohio?
Iowa.
Iowa.
Please.
No, they have it in Ohio. what's other? Oop. Did I just microphone? Nope, I got a text, and everybody heard it.
Is Jonah calling in again? He forgot to give us some key info. Don't play.
Does your phone read your text out loud?
It does sometimes when I'm in the car. It's a little embarrassing. The rental car driving Lyft. Something pops up. Just like, yep, sorry about that, folks. There
is a setting to like.
Yeah, no, and you figure it out real quick afterwards.
Do you have any interesting tales to share?
Of Lyft? I don't know. I signed an NDA. No.
Really?
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't sign an NDA.
Oh, okay.
That's fucked up.
Lyft confessionals with Cash Hartzell.
For the most part, everybody's fine. There was one night. It was the end of the night, and it sort of last call through West Hollywood, and I picked up a guy and his date who got in a very loud argument in an. In a language neither the busboy that I picked up next nor myself recognized. The busboy spoke Spanish and knew Brazilian, so it wasn't Portuguese. And they got in like a domestic, but I don't know, everything was fine.
Oh. What types of refreshments does the Cash Hartzell Lyft provide the clientele?
No, provide shit.
No water, no gum?
Picking you up, I'm taking you a place.
All right.
You barely get me to tell me to turn down
okay,
the music.
So not even good company.
No, I've met the real skill to that is not you got to drive. So you can't take it. You can't zip all over the place. And if people want to talk to you, you talk to them. If people don't want to talk to you, you leave them the fuck alone.
Sure.
And that's the real secret of being a good Lyft driver.
Okay.
And occasionally you can get into some really interesting conversations with people, or they'll ask you stuff, or they'll volunteer stuff. Which is fine. There's also like a weird therapist thing too. That I don't know if it's therapist or if it's just like there's a weird
confessional
intimacy sort of thing. Like, this is on my mind. It doesn't matter to the person driving me. Like, I got a couple of one in particular. I got this woman who's like She never said it, but she was like, I don't know what I'm doing with this boyfriend. I think I need to break up with him. And she was just kind of justifying it to me. And I understand at that point, like, all right, fine. Like, I'm not going to give you any real advice that you're going to take away from this. You just need to hear yourself talk about it. And I, you know, I already listened to Fresh Air. So I can, like, there's nothing to do. That's one of the things actually about the whole Lyft experience is, like, it's just, it's such a simple task that you, the pressure is about doing it and like getting the rides, that when you're actually driving and giving people rides, you know you're getting paid for it. When you're sitting around waiting for a ride, you know you're not getting paid and you're burning gas and it could be a larger cost. So like anything you do with people in the car is relatively stress-free. It's the like, oh shit, I got to pick up. Oh, it's 10 minutes away. Oh, when I get there, it's going to be $2. So I just wasted 12 minutes for $2 as opposed to like, it's a weird job. It's nice. The people are sort of the nicest thing about it.
Sure.
Everything else is the bummer. And it's crazy. The other thing that it taught me in doing it is how much of the road is Lyft drivers now or Uber drivers, and how much transportation it is, and how much it's really, really integrated into at least Los Angeles. I'm sure it's like this. And I mean, I know San Francisco, it's like this. I'm sure New York is like this, the bigger cities and stuff like this. It's interesting to think about how much of the traffic is on. And also at like, this city is fucking great when there's no traffic. Like 9 o'clock at night until 1 a.m., 2 a.m. is great most of the time because everybody's home or something like that, and you can get places really quickly. Yeah. I don't know. It's you'll have to rate for the book.
Sure.
Yeah, the novel.
Should we play another song?
We should. I got something coming up. I gotta use my user ID. I just use my fingertip these days, guys. I got that cool thing. This is the Cutscenes. They are from Chicago, Illinois. This is called Memory from the Cutscenes from Make It Count.
crying on the inside. I'm crying on the outside. This glass of wine won't numb my pain.
That is Memory from the Cutscenes off Make It Count. They're from Chicago, Illinois. They have a pretty cool album cover.
Is that Cutscenes as in video game reference or like scenes that have been cut?
Or like it's just the word the and the word Cutscenes. I mean,
is Cutscenes?
They have scissors behind it, like behind their logo, and then one of their things is like a hand, but all the fingertips have just been cut off.
No.
So I think it's more like the scenes where people get cut would be like a third option than that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. That was Cutscenes. When you send into Jonah Radio, we will talk about your name. That is the Jonah Radio less promise. Because we're filling time while the big man's on the road.
Speaking of time, we still filling time? We good?
We're getting close.
Okay, good.
I think we got this segment.
We got like an hour, right?
Well, we got to cut that thing in. And then that brings us up. But that wasn't that long. So it's I'm only adding like 4 to what we have now. So we're... Well, the people at home can actually look down and tell you where we are time-wise. It's a mystery to us. Tweet us with your what number it says on your podcast right now. Let us know. Still waiting on that stuff from Ben Acker. They were supposed to tweet in their applause, and I have not gotten any. But I haven't checked the you want to check the...
that's what I was going to do right now.
Yeah, checking in on Twitter account. Let us know. Parents are gone. We jumped on the bed last week. How do you respond to that? That's a big thing. We're in this new journalist radio format. We're moving forward this. We're listening to our audience. It's not so much about the oppressive fist from up top anymore. It's just the inmates are out. Like, well, I'm not going to send you a written report, or at least it's not going to be 1,500 words. It's going to be 1,000 words, and you're just going to have to deal with that, Jonah.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't make you send in written reports every podcast?
Fuck no.
Oh.
I'm a feature.
Fuck no, I'm a feature.
Cash, you're a with.
Yeah. I don't even get the ith. I just get W slash.
ITH, that's all extra, buddy.
So I was excited about hearing swearing on the show.
Yeah, swearing on. I believe they're on tour again.
Yeah, that record just dropped. Great record. Same day as the new Fucked Up.
Ooh,
another good record. Merge is really putting the stuff out.
They do that from time to time. They put those records out.
The new KV just dropped yesterday. Kurt Vile.
Oh, okay. I was trying to. I thought it was something else.
Okay, here's an actual question.
Yes.
What musician alive? This is from Amber O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of symbol. What musician alive? Or wait. Did we ask this question and she's answering it?
I don't know. What's the question?
She's got the question in quotes and then answers it.
Oh, okay. What was the question?
What musician, alive or dead, would you like to hear do a better job of a terrible modern song?
What'd she say?
She says, I want Joe Cocker to try all of those terrible whoa, hand clap, hey, indie rock songs.
That would be really cool.
Picture one of those songs that she's talking about.
Like the Mumford
and
his boys, they do all that stuff.
Mumford and his boys.
Arcade Fire, they got some...
Yeah, they got some hand clappy stuff.
Stomp,
clap. Anthematic, is that what you classify that as?
Yeah. What's the dude from iRobot? What's his band now?
The Who?
The dude from iRobot. What was it?
He was in The Who, right?
Um,
Will Smith?
No. Mr. Robot. What was the name of that band?
Edward Sharpe and the
Magnetic Zeros. Yeah, they got some hand clappy stuff. God, did we ever play that cover of Party All the Time that did we shot for that? Or Jonah shot for that?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know where to find it.
I don't know where to find it either.
It's probably on my big computer.
Oh, okay. Well, we should dig that out sometime.
Edited.
The guy from Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, right before he started that band, he was in a band called Mr. Robot. Not Mr. Robot.
I am a robot. IMA, one word.
Was it IMA? I'm a robot?
I think that.
Yeah, but it was just IMA.
Yeah, I'm a robot. I remember that band.
No apostrophe.
And Jonah and you, right? It was the two of you wrote, did a pilot that was. Jonah as a record store. It was called In-Store, right?
Yeah.
In-Store, and it was a band would come and do an in-store at the record shop Jonah worked at. And they would do one of their originals, and then they would do
a cover,
and the cover that they did was Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out really well. Like, it actually came together pretty good. So
cool.
We'll have to find that. We'll have to dig that out. It may have gotten played maybe on, like, the first one or two episodes. Because it was fresh then.
No, it was not fresh then.
How long ago was that?
10 years.
Yeah, easy. But we've been doing this for 6.
But that's still 5 years old.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not good at math.
Nope. We should dig that out. So tease that. Fuck no, I'm a feature. I got that written down.
I think that Joey Warrenker was involved in that I'm a Robot project, if I'm... Joey Warrenker, he played with Beck for a while.
Yep.
He was in this great Minneapolis band back in my day called Walt Mink. So shout out to Walt Mink.
Walt Mink?
Walt Mink.
It's a good name.
Yeah. I believe...
Is it also all one word?
No, two words.
Oh, man. We already played that fucking cutscene song.
Did we?
Yeah. I thought it sounded familiar. We played it 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
10-5. Holy crap, was listening to Jonah Radio this morning and Jonah played our song Memory. So cool.
I was going to say, 2 weeks ago was the one where Jonah got termites. Oh, we should go by and see how the house is doing.
If there's still a house there.
I mean, they have a house sitter, but we should just go
10-5 would be the one that we recorded the week before.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. So, well, it was a good song. It's about the Dead Dad's Club. It's heartfelt.
DDC.
Why are you shoving that envelope full of cash in your back pocket?
If you try to payola Jonah Radio, oh, I swear to God.
Every cent. Just every cent you can get.
All the payola we've ever gotten for Jonah Radio will go towards collectively buying us a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Cash will put it on 33 Black.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This guy wants Neil's Hip Hop Corner. That's not happening.
No.
I don't know anything about hip hop.
Yeah, but you enjoy listening to it.
We want a fresh.
Some of it.
For my hip hop corner, I've been listening to a bunch of The Coup lately. The Boots Riley, the guy who made
Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You. His musical group, and it is great, and it's very the opposite of big money hip hop. It's little money hip hop and the revolution and stuff like that.
Cool.
And it's been very inspiring. So go check out The Coop if you can, or go see that movie. I think it's now on VOD and stuff like that. I think it's in the home
video market. It's got to be about that time.
It's at the Red Box.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have Red Boxes in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't you?
Well, yeah. I just thought it was kind of like a Midwest thing, I guess.
No. You got the Red Box. The Red Box is... I will say they do scratch an itch. They do kind of give you like, yeah, I'm going to go stare at something and then I'm going to come home with a movie as opposed to I'm going to stare at my TV and not pick a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, are they only a dollar here like they are out there?
I think it's like $1.59 or something. I think there might be some sort of inflation for LA, but it's not bad.
Cheap entertainment.
This guy, Johnny Weiss, says... y'all should go back to that Airbnb and record an episode there.
that might be a good Halloween one.
Mm-mm.
Air bed and breakfast. We didn't. You know what? We never got any breakfast.
You didn't really technically get any bet either.
No.
Yeah, that's...
Well, so. I sat on the edge of one and stared out the window.
Yeah.
And thought about all the choices I've made in my life.
Maybe she can rebrand it as, like, Rock Bottom Inn. When you hear, you know you're not going any lower.
Dude.
Yeah.
I hope she gets kicked off or whatever.
I hope she gets some cello gigs and doesn't have to stay in the business. That's what I hope.
Isaac Hansen wants to plug his band. He said they'd kill it a few seconds. Okay, you just did.
Yep.
Because you didn't say what your band was called. Twitter games. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be good.
If we had slightly planned ahead and not waited this long. We've got a guest... hosts while Jonah's away.
Oh, there's an idea.
That's going to cost money, and we don't have any.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about Hodgman. The famous, I need $20,000 before I show up to guest on your podcast, John Hodgman. Can we be the fake news about John Hodgman?
Well, what about your Max Fun family? Any good pickings there?
That's a good idea. We should talk to our family more.
Talk to the Simpsons gals.
Well, Allie's done it. Allie was on right when we made the switch. But yep. Yeah, you're right.
Julia's out on the road.
Well, in the meantime, I am going to play what has been called some space rock for us to listen to. This is Apogee by a band called Libria, Lybria. You can find them on Bandcamp, but this is Apogee.
My own.
And we're back. That was Libria, spelled kind of how you think it is, with a poji. Very spacey band is the way it was described to me in the email. And their Bandcamp delivers on that promise. There's a lot of space pictures. Pictures of space. I don't know if they're pictures or illustrations, actually. How easy is it to draw space, Dana?
Like,
because it really is just like
black,
and then
black.
Maybe some stars.
Absence of matter, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it'd be easier if you start on black paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just you don't have to color.
Flick a little white.
I guess coloring. I got out of the illustration game pretty early back when we just called it coloring. I was like, I don't see myself going forward with this, but thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to clean up and go, and you can talk to these guys, and they're going to get a lot more. So I approach it from the outside, but you're an insider. Dana is an insider, which is a great way to transition into
shirts.
We have been working with Max Fun to try and get some of the greatest of Jonah Radio, the art, onto some t-shirts, and we're moving along. We're submitting art this week. Why don't you tell people about what they can expect to see on some of these shirts?
Sure. So these are going to be the first run Jonah Radio artwork series. These will be all of the parody covers, record covers, and I'm quite positive, like, all of the illustrated ones are going to be up for grabs.
So this means you might go to this Max Fun website. This site, and you can hit a drop down menu, and you can choose from very many. There's one I know people are gonna wanna get, which is the Hartzell Mahoney. What is that? That is.
Oh, was that the Hall & Oates?
The Hall & Oates cover, where it's half illustrated me, half illustrated Neil, and our faces are kind of pushed together. And that is, I don't know what you're doing in early February, but that is something that says Valentine's Day. So
it's a stone cold classic.
Mm-hmm. Or the three that I actually have up in my garage, I have to bring them in because I'm moving and I want to put them up. But there's that one. There is the Descendants one, which is a great, it's Jonah as Milo from Milo Goes to College. And then
Milo didn't go to college in that case.
Yeah, Milo started doing open mics. and the front of the, which is now not even there anymore, the Elliott Smith cover,
sure.
With Jonah in front instead of Elliott Smith. And now that mural has been violated? I don't know. There's a big hole and a door in it now.
No.
There's a bar.
Yeah, there's something like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
it was
too bad.
It was really sad. I get what they're going for, but maybe just...
It was really sad while it was there, too.
Yeah, that is also true. It really wasn't only sad before he took that picture. Yeah. Then from then on, it was sad. So those are coming. So we're very excited that you will be able to have... not just one or two choices, but many choices.
Yeah, there'll be about 20 to 30, I believe, is what we've got planned. So look for those soon.
Yeah, we will obviously be linking to it here, but we were glad that Dana wasn't down, so we're getting this through so we can talk about it on the episode. Folks, thanks for listening. There we go. It's been a great week for all of us. On and off the microphone, really, if you haven't been following Variety in the last couple of days, I guess you won't know, but we're all billionaires now, and Elon Musk has personally invited us to space, so we're all moving on through October, doing our best, and hope that you are too. If you have any songs or bands that you'd like us to play on Jonah Radio, please submit them to jonahradio@gmail.com. That's radio with a Y. Please go see our namesake as he tours through town. Take him to your cool record shops, your cool comic book stores.
If he wants to go.
If he wants
like
to go. Or just go there. He'll probably just show up there.
High five.
Yeah. And enjoy the show. They're doing two performances, two different movies. As you heard Jonah say earlier, they're it's on its feet. They're changing stuff. So it's going to be a good show. So go see that. Check out Dana Lechtenberg at Sub Pop 2000 on
everything.
On everything, I was going to say. Yeah. Neil Mahoney is at Neil Mahoney on Twitter. I'm Cash Hartzell, in for Jonah Ray, as he's on assignment. We are going to go out with another submitted song. This is from Officer Tripp. Good name. It's called Motherland. They are from Vancouver, British Columbia. This is Motherland.
I prefer Thunder Bay.
Calmer than the mountains, lay on the road, can't smoke, bathe in the golden sunset. No catastrophes or masterpiece, I just release. Whoa, whoa.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.